Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
Today, let's talk about the judgments of a merciful God. I'm going to read you from the prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Nahum chapter 1, beginning now at verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. Nahum is one of the more obscure prophets of the Bible. We don't know exactly when he made this prophecy or exactly where he was from, but the subject is clear enough. Nahum spoke against the superpower nation of his day, the mighty Assyrian Empire, and most specifically against its capital city of Nineveh. Nahum saw through the power and prestige and looked at their deep-seated sin. With powerful images, he warned them of the coming judgment of God and thereby gave them the opportunity to repent. Nahum wrote, "Who can stand before his indignation?" Nahum knew that the people needed to understand that they couldn't fight against God and ever hope to prevail. Everyone who sets themselves against God will end up standing before his indignation, and no one can endure the fierceness of his anger. In fact, his fury is poured out like fire. When God is resisted long enough and rejected strongly enough, eventually his judgment comes. He is slow to anger, as it says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, but when it does come, his fury is poured out like fire. Understanding this should make us quick to repent and wary of presuming on God's patience. But when we do turn to the Lord, we find that, as Nahum wrote, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Those who love him and trust him see the goodness of God and find protection in his stronghold, which is the Lord himself. Indeed, he knows those who trust in him. Not only does he know them in the sense of identification, but also in the sense of relationship. You see, trust implies relationship, and God knows those who trust in him. Let me read you a quote from Charles Spurgeon that sort of reflects this idea. Spurgeon wrote this, "Once more, dear friends, this word know here means loving communion. God knows us. He knows our prayers and tears. He knows our wishes. He knows that we are not what we want to be, but he knows that we do not desire to what we do desire to be. He knows our aspirations, our sighs, our groans, our secret longings, and our own chastenings of spirit when we fail. He has entered into it all. He says, 'Yes, dear child, I know all about you. I've been with you when you thought you were alone. I have read what you could not read, the secrets of your own heart you have could not decipher. I have known them all, and I still know them.'" That's a wonderful quote from Spurgeon. And at the end of it all, even with the specter of judgment lurking over a wicked city like Nineveh, Nahum could still see and say that the Lord is good. This may be the most fundamental thing for every human being to know about God. God is good in his very being. It is his very nature to be good. God is good independently. No one must help him to be good. God is good eternally and unchangeably. God is good in each one of his divine persons. God is good in all of his acts of grace. God is good in all of his plans and purposes for our life. Yet, the goodness of God does not cancel out his righteousness. In fact, his goodness shapes his righteousness. God is a righteous judge because he is good. Therefore, Nahum could say of Nineveh, with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place. Taking into account the character of God, though he is slow to anger and good, he cannot forever overlook the sin and the rebellion of the Assyrians. Their end in judgment will come like an overflowing flood. That overflowing flood was fulfilled both literally and figuratively. You see, to reject the goodness of God is to invite the demonstration of his righteous judgment. Instead, receive his goodness today and thank him for it.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.